So when you see that question, what comes to mind? Now, if I had to guess, there is a portion of you all along this same age bracket who minds might go to the who. I won't point those of you out because I'm not quite that old. And they really wanted to know, who are you? How many times did they ask that in that song? Have you ever read the real lyrics? That is a strange song. I found myself at that website reading those lyrics. I don't know what you guys were doing in the, well, maybe I do. Maybe I knew. Maybe that's what that song is. Some of you are smiling. So I'm just going to make some assumptions about you at this point. But when you look at that question, who are you? And if you had to answer it this morning, how would you answer that? I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you answer that. But if you had to, that question, it really depends on who's asking and what circumstances you're in, right? You know, if the pastor asks you off the pulpit who you are, I would dare say that answer might be very different than if somebody asks you at work or someplace else out in our culture and our community. Who are you? It really depends on that. And people tend to identify themselves on certain things, either their circumstances, their jobs, roles, or affiliations. You know, it's like you're someplace and you know that the people around know your family, so they're like, oh, who are you? And then so you describe yourself, well, I'm so-and-so's child, or, you know, so-and-so's my aunt, or if you're at a job situation or something like that, your knee-jerk reaction is you identify yourself with your job title or something along those lines. But if I would ask you who you are, would you identify yourself, would you answer that question by sharing either your circumstances, jobs, roles, or affiliations? Or maybe the better question is, should you? And I think it depends, but by and large, here's the thing. The world encourages a self-achieved identity. What does that mean? Think self-made. When you look at your identity in public, or what America claims this is who you are, it's based on what? It's based on success. It's based on power. A lot of times, it's based on how much money you have, and those kind of things, right? That self-achieved, self-made, that's who you are. But we as Christians need to embrace our given identity. So this morning, self-achieved identity versus given identity. And because here's the problem with self-achieved. There's a couple things. First, it's pretty fragile, right? So if your identity is hooked up with your job, your circumstances, and all these things, what if something changes? What if you lose your job? No fault of your own, you lose your job. What if you get divorced? What if you suffer some grand economic failure and you have to move out of the neighborhood you live in, or some other negative change in your status, etc.? All those things would affect your self-achieved identity. The other thing I would say about that's negative about the self-achieved identity is, by necessity, it is your job to sustain it yourself. No one can sustain that identity for you, right? I mean, ultimately, if we're all worried about our own identity, it's on you. And so with the ebbs and flows and all that stuff, so just, I mean, think about this. Look at your own life. How much stress, work, resources, energy go along with maintaining a self-achieved identity? Now, just think about that. And I know, even when I was typing that, I started thinking about that. That is a significant thing to maintain that. Again, when America looks at you, how do they size you up? That identity. How much time, resources, and energy goes in with that? And here's ultimately the question then becomes, to what end? What does it ultimately get you? Again, I made that statement that we as Christians have a given identity, and we're going to look at that this morning. And so if you want, turn to Colossians 3 with me. It's page 957 in the Pew Bible. And if you're one of those that follows along, you might want to stick your finger in there, because we're going to come back a few different times. A lot of it's on the screen, so if you don't want to turn to it, that's fine. And we're just going to start by reading the first four verses, and these are going to be up on the screen. It says, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So, first of all, I want to show you where we get this idea that we as Christians are given an identity. Again, you have a choice. Self-achieved, who you've created yourself to the best of your ability to be, versus who God has created you to be. And we get this idea throughout the New Testament and in these specific verses. So it says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in another section it says, Christ who is your life. See, the thing is, we celebrate communion this morning. We know part of what we're celebrating is what Christ did on the cross. And when we come to Christ and we accept what he has to offer us, not only are we accepting forgiveness for our sins and the hope of eternity spent with him, we are accepting the death of our old nature in Christ being new in us, a new identity, a given identity. And again, we see this in other points of the scripture, and I just am going to give you two other options. There's plenty of places in the Bible. Galatians 2, 19 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. So if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. And so the fact of the matter, again, this new identity is an expectation. It is an expectation. If you have come to Christ and you've become a Christian, I mean, look at the verbiage in that. You have been crucified. That is a pretty strong statement there, that you were crucified with Jesus Christ. All right? And there's an expectation with that. We go back to Colossians 3. So it says, so if you have been raised with Christ, if you are a Christian, look at that, so. Whenever we see that in the Bible, it's like that therefore. It should be a word that grabs your attention and shows you, look, because of this, this is what needs to happen. There's an expectation there. And I think it shows two things here that we need to do, two perspectives that we need to have. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. What does that mean? So in the original language, it's really talking about we need to value and love the things of God. That we need to value and love God, his kingdom, his purposes, his bride, his people. These are the things that God is calling us that they need to take a priority in our lives. These are the things that should drive us. Not the things that hold up that self-achieved identity, but the things from above, the things that God calls us to. This is the moral part of who we are. This is that idea again. You have died, Christ lives within you, so it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives within me. But values and love just isn't enough, because Paul goes on to that second thing. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. Set. That is an act of will. That doesn't just happen. It doesn't just magically, again, recently we talked about last week that co-op between God doing his part and us doing our part. That setting that I am choosing on what? To set my mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. This is how we're supposed to make our decisions. This is the information on which we are to make those decisions. Not on the things of earth, but how they will affect eternity. Are we fulfilling God's purposes? The things of earth are those things that tend to drive that self-achieved identity. Paul goes on, right? He goes on to explain this. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever is it you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have been stripped off the old with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. And that renewal is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And so when we see and we think about this concept of living with this new identity over our old identity, I mean, we kind of view it as a choice. I don't know if that choice is really shown here. Look at the first three words. This is God's word telling us what he wants you to do with that old self. Again, Galatians said what? You were crucified with Christ. Now, I understand this isn't a one-and-done type of thing. Sadly, again, as long as we're on this planet, we live in this kind of battle of which identity is truly going to win out. Which identity is going to be shown? And so sometimes it might be daily, it might be hourly, that we need to be putting to death the old self. Again, we see that recurring theme, crucified with Christ. The old is gone, the old is passed away. God is serious about this point. And it says, put to death what? Whatever in you is earthly. Okay, anybody got a loophole there? Is there anything that you can get away with that God is saying, okay, you can keep that one? Whatever. Anything that is in your heart, anything that is still part of you that is earthly, goes back to that put to death. And again, or terms that we are using, those things to add to our self-achieved identity, that identity that we might so want to build up and hold on to, are things of that earth. There's no place for it. It gets in the way of what we are to be about. And Paul gives us those examples, right? Those desires of the flesh, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires and greed, anger, malice. I mean, those are desires of the heart, and those are actions. Those are all wrong. How much of our culture is driven by things that are mentioned in those couple of verses? I would dare say almost all of it. I mean, that's what the world wants you. That's what the world claims that life is all about. Again, money, sex, power, those things. And God tells us to put to death those things. And he drives that again. We drive that point home. There are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. Again, we see that expectation in there. That is something that you used to do. That is something that at one point identified who you were. When you were following that life, there's an expectation that we don't follow that life anymore. And here's the thing. This isn't just about how you live your life. Look at that next verse. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices. Now, if we read this just like this, it almost feels like it's that going back to the Ten Commandments, right? We know in the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not lie. So, you know what? Do not lie to one another. It means you don't fib to me and I don't fib to you. But within this context, let me propose this to you. If you have been given a new identity, but you are choosing to live this false self-achieved identity, are you not lying to every person you ever come across? And here Paul, for the sake of God, is calling us out, saying, when you don't live your given identity in Christ out in public, daily, with your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers, you are lying to them because that's not who you really are. There is no you anymore. It is Jesus Christ living within you. I mean, we are called to so much more. At 10 and 11, if you clothe yourself with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there's no longer Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, and the rest of that. So, I mean, what is Paul saying here? First, which is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of its creator. Your thought process changes in this. Again, when we've come to Christ, when you came to Christ, you were, I don't care who you are, this is a blanket statement. When you came to that realization, you needed Jesus Christ, your life was a wreck. It was a mess. You were entrenched in sin. Yeah, that was all of our stories when we came to the cross. But again, when we've accepted him, this process of renewal kicks in, and part of that is the knowledge, what motivates us, our perspectives, what drives us needs to change. Again, our minds are renewed because it's back to what God intends. What are we to be doing for the kingdom? What are we to be doing for God? What is God asking us to do? Those are the things that need to be churning. And again, so often we're caught in with that stuff that is holding up that self-achieved identity instead. This speaks to character, but it goes beyond that. It also has value. He says, renewal of Greek, Jew, uncertain. What is he talking about here? Well, it means that we no longer make decisions or judgments based on, okay, Greek and Jew, ethnicity, circumcised, uncircumcised, religious tradition, barbarian and Scythian, cultural, slave and free, economics. We don't make our decision based on those things anymore. Paul is saying we make decisions in what? What was that last line? Christ is all and he is in all. There is not a situation in your life that you shouldn't bring before Christ right out of the gate. I don't care how minor it is or major it is. We are called to this given identity. We're just daily, we are walking and going, okay, Lord, this is your day. It's not my agenda, it's yours. What would you have me do? Christ is all and in all. It's not about ethic or ethnicity. It's not about tradition. It's not about culture. It's not about any of that stuff. And really, when you think about it, there's an incredibly sweet simplicity in there. I mean, in different places in the Bible, Jesus says, come to me. My yoke is easy. And part of us were like, oh, it's hard to be a Christian. But this is it. Everything you do, shoot it through the Father. Bring it to Jesus Christ. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's the essence of life. We overcomplicate it so much because, again, we are driven by this given identity. But, man, that self-achieved identity, it never goes away. Our world whispers at us and it screams at us, this is what life is all about. So we get to see that identity in these next couple verses, 12 through 17. As God's chosen one, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to God. Whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if you just look at that, and you look at all the things that we are being called to, and this isn't like a bunch of rules that we have to. This is who God is transforming you into. Just look at that. Clothe yourself. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I mean, that self-achieved identity, that doesn't really go with all that. Why? Because it's about you. You have to protect your own. It's about how you get to the top. If you have to step on people or do whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Why? Because the world revolves around you and what you want. And so humility and compassion and meekness, that's not a part of that. But yet we are called, as Christ does his transformative work in us, this is who we start to look like. And then that idea of bear with one another, we've talked about that. Again, we're a family, but we're a dysfunctional one. And if we spend enough time together, you're going to irritate me, I'm going to irritate you, but God, what's that calling us to? We see each other in a different light. We see that in that given identity. You are a child of God, I'm a child of God. So even when you tick me off, what? We're going to bear and we're going to just keep pushing, because someday in heaven I'm going to get to meet your perfected self and you're going to get to meet mine, and all that junk between us is going to be gone because we'll be perfected. We see that idea again. Forgiving each other goes right along with that. Above all, clothe yourself with love. Your given identity is about loving people. Again, self-achieved is about self-love, right? It's all about me. No. Love, above all, love each other. And then let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. How much peace is in this self-achieved identity? I will claim not a whole lot. Why? Because you're constantly worried about keeping all the balls in the air. Again, there are people, you want your identity to get fired from a job. That'll rock you to the core. If this is how you cling and that's how your identity is, you get your major job taken away, that'll make you look at the mirror. There's not peace there. But if I am living my given identity in Christ, okay, I lost my job. It might be terrible. It might suck. But God's still in control. And if I'm going to keep following him, he's got that figured out. And I can have peace in ways that the earth world looks at people and go, how in the world can you have peace and joy in your hearts? Because of the circumstances you might be in. It's because of Jesus Christ. He gives us that peace. Again, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that we are seeking what God has to say in this book and through worship. Admonish one another. Teach and admonish. Look, if God's showing you stuff in this, don't keep it to yourself. The pastor's not the only one that has a word from God to share with you. You have that to share with one another. That we talk about that. That doing life together. And then gratitude with our heart that we need to be thankful. And that just a quick look, that is such a different look in those verses of what life is to be about versus what our world is telling us what life is about. This is your given identity. And when you think about it, it's an incredibly beautiful picture, isn't it? A life with love and meekness and peace and joy and gratitude. And Paul wraps it all up like this, that verse 17. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I made that comment earlier in the sermon. He said, everything in your life, we ultimately just need to get to that point where we're putting it before God, and whatever he's claiming or calling us to do, we just do it. And yet, we fool ourselves, and we think, well, God wants to be involved with this big stuff, but this little stuff really doesn't matter. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Your life is not your own anymore. You have been given an incredible identity. Quit fighting against it. This is the essence of true life. So this morning, I again ask you that simple question. Who are you this morning? You have been given something amazing. Are you living it? And again, I think one of the amazing parts of that is if I am living my given identity, I don't have to worry about sustaining it. I just got to seek Christ. Trust him with all of that stuff. Oh, how much time, energy, and resources we waste trying to be what the world wants us to be or trying to get what the world tells us that life is all about. So what life have you been living? What identity has been influencing your decisions, your value, and your character? Friend, if you've been missing the boat, if you've been lying to yourself and others, and you have been holding on to that self-achieved identity, I just want to encourage you today that there is freedom here for you this morning. There's a fresh start. I mean, we celebrate communion, which again is that reminder of what Christ did on the cross, but also there's a clean slate because our God's grace is so sufficient, and he knows you're going to blow it. He knows I'm going to blow it, and yet his love for us, he continues to invite us into that given identity. He continues to invite us to just seek him. So when you come to the table this morning, I would encourage you just to confess, repent, be washed in his grace. He will meet you where you are, get real with him, and he will bless you in ways that only he can. He is calling you up. Live the identity that he has so lovingly given you, and take the peace, joy, and love that he offers. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we are thankful. I mean, we hear a sermon like this and we're humbled by it, but we're also so incredibly thankful. I mean, the cross we know is that forgiveness so that we can escape hell, but man, it is so much more than that. You have blessed us with a hope for eternity, but you have also blessed us with, again, a new being. One that lives entirely different than the world and the culture that we find ourselves in. And Lord, you know for all of us, it's a battle which one we choose. And so for all of us, Lord, I would ask that you would help us put death to the old. That more and more, just daily, we walk in your light, we walk with you, and that we can truly be your children that reflect those last couple of verses that we read. Just that people see us and they see that love and that peace and they wonder what in the world's different about us. And so, Lord, as we take communion, I would just ask that you would work in the hearts of your people here. Again, Lord, you know every situation. You know if there are people that are really close to you right now or if there are those that have strayed away, and this sermon hit hard. Lord, again, we thank you for your grace, which covers all of that. But in these just couple moments, Lord, I would ask that you would just work in their hearts and minds. You would give each of us what we're in need of, that we can truly live the way that you want, that given identity of Christ in us. So we just ask this all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.